Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will introduce you to San Francisco's premier vegan vegetarian restaurant, Millennium Restaurant. Millennium Restaurant has created a visionary gourmet experience redefining vegan cuisine for the 21st century. We will be joined by Larry and Ann Wheat, the principal owners of Millennium Restaurant, and their partner, executive chef Eric Tucker. Chef Eric Tucker, along with myself, have co-authored the revolutionary Millennium Cookbook, Extraordinary Vegetarian Cuisine. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, low-carbohydrate diets can lead to weight gain and heightened risk of heart disease, according to a new study in Sweden. As part of an effort to reduce heart disease risk in the 1980s, more than 140,000 individuals were encouraged to decrease their intake of fat. They did so, and their cholesterol levels fell for a while. However, in the early 2000s, the low-carbohydrate diet fad led many of these individuals to forego healthful carbohydrates and eat fattier foods instead. The results were higher cholesterol levels and overall increased risk of heart disease. This study appeared in Nutrition Journal. Here's another study in the journal Nutrition, Metabolism, and Cardiovascular Disease that looks at vegetarian diets and the incidence of diabetes. Among participants in the Adventist Health Study 2, after adjusting for BMI and socio-demographic and lifestyle factors, vegan, lacto-ovo-vegetarian, and semi-vegetarian diets were associated with a lower incidence of diabetes compared to non-vegetarian diets, while pesco-vegetarian diets, those are diets which include fish, were not associated with less risk for diabetes. The study followed 15,200 men and 26,187 women for 2 years. A vegan diet was found to be the most protective. The authors suggested that protective effects of vegetarian diets could be due to a higher intake of fruits and vegetables, which have lower energy density, low glycemic load, and high fiber and macronutrient content, as well as consumption of whole grains and legumes, which have been shown to improve glycemic control, slow the rate of carbohydrate absorption, and slow the risk of diabetes. We'll be back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, there are websites that say that soy should be avoided with the exception of properly fermented products like miso and tempeh. Is this true? Now, I'm aware that the internet has a lot of paranoia on the subject of soy and the statements that only fermented soy is safe to consume, and that simply is not true. In fact, some of the best forms of soy, such as edamame, tofu, soy milk, soy nuts, and products like Bragg liquid aminos, are unfermented and are much more likely to help you than to hurt you. In fact, the claims that unfermented soy are toxic is not true. The claim that Asian populations only eat fermented soy is not true also. In fact, in Asia, people eat both fermented and unfermented soy in abundance, and they have done so for thousands of years. It is not true that soy causes breast cancer. Isoflavones, the active ingredients in soy, actually offer protection and may reduce the effects of excess estrogen exposure from such external sources as meats and dairy products from hormone-treated cows, as well as artificial chemicals and industrial pollutants that act as foreign estrogens. Japanese women, whose diets contain a lot of soy foods, have only one-fifth the rate of breast cancer that occurs among Western women. Also, the idea that substances in soy called phytates block absorption of essential minerals is also in circulation, but there is no scientific data suggesting that soy consumption leads to mineral deficiency in humans. Now, based on the evidence to date, I see no reason to worry about eating soy foods, whether fermented or not. I recommend consuming one or two servings of soy per day, an amount equivalent to one cup of soy milk or one half cup of tofu, soy protein such as tempeh, or soy nuts.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
On today's program, we're going to be talking about San Francisco's premier vegan vegetarian restaurant, Millennium Restaurant. And Millennium Restaurant has created a visionary gourmet experience, which really is redefining vegan cuisine for the 21st century. In fact, Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet, has stated that when asked to recommend a restaurant in San Francisco, I always start with Millennium, a totally refreshing look into the 21st century of great food. Well, our special guests today are Larry and Ann Wheat, who are the principal owners of Millennium Restaurant, and Eric Tucker, the executive chef, cookbook author, and partner in Millennium. And I have to tell you, I've known Ann and Larry for over 20 years. In fact, I remember when Millennium opened back in 1994, I actually became the nutritionist for Millennium Restaurant. I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area, and one of the things I became known for in the restaurant is being known as the roaming nutritionist for Millennium, and I would often walk around and talk to customers as they were enjoying their vegetarian meal and talk to them about the benefits of vegan cuisine and answer some of the questions that they may have regarding nutrition. And later, I co-authored Millennium's first cookbook with Eric, the Millennium Cookbook, which has become very successful. We'll talk a little bit about that later. And it's really an interesting story about Millennium Restaurant and how you got started in the restaurant business. So tell us how all that started, Larry.
Well, actually, we didn't expect to be in the restaurant business when I retired. You know, we just sort of fell into it. We were eating frequently at Millie's, which was a small vegan restaurant in San Rafael. And Eric was the chef at Millie's, and we thought his cuisine was exceptional. We became friends with the owner of the restaurant, and she would come and sit with us while we ate dinner there. And she would tell us her dream, which was to open a larger, upscale vegan restaurant in San Francisco. And one night, she told us that she had found a location, but the man that owned the location wouldn't sign a lease with her until she showed him a business plan and some indication she had the money to open the restaurant.
We believed in the vegan restaurant. We had been vegan for many years at that point, influenced by Dr. McDougall, and we wanted to see a restaurant happen in San Francisco as well, and they certainly needed a upscale vegan restaurant. And we needed a place to take our friends when we were in the city that was presentable and entertaining, and we had a lot of friends that weren't vegetarian, and we wanted to show them that you can have great tasting food and it can be vegan. So we impressed a lot of people. It was an adventure because we weren't restaurateurs. We were vegetarian, but we weren't restaurateurs, so it was quite a jump for us to get into the business. And it started, actually, we invested in it first before we really got involved. And 6 months after it opened is when we got involved. The gal who owned it and started it actually decided to get out of the restaurant business, and we felt it was important to keep Millennium open, so that's when we stepped in, and suddenly we're restaurateurs. It's been an interesting journey, and it's afforded us a chance to meet many dynamic people in the vegetarian movement and in the whole country, so it's been a great experience for us.
Well, you know, the owner at Millie's wasn't really a business person.
Oh.
And so I ended up writing the business plan for her, negotiating the lease, and putting the money in to get the restaurant started. And fortunately, as a condition of investing in Millennium, I insisted that Eric was to be the chef. So the food at Millennium was excellent from the start.
Well, you know, the restaurant business is very difficult to get into, and here you were retired, and of course, a lot of people don't recommend going to the restaurant business because they're not too successful. With all that knowledge, what made you really get into it?
Well, you know, there's a very high failure rate in startup restaurants, so, you know, we've been in business for almost 18 years now, so that says something about what we're offering to the public in the way of a gourmet vegan dining experience. I initially took heat from a lot of friends when they found out we owned a restaurant. You know, they'd say, oh, we thought you were smarter than that. And, you know, Ann and I have been involved in community activities and nonprofits for years. And we felt that Millennium would be a challenge, but if it was successful, it would be our contribution to the vegetarian movement. And we don't really consider Millennium primarily a commercial venture, but it's a vehicle for social change.
Well, Millennium has been in business now for almost 18 years now and has been very successful. In fact, you've consistently won the Favorite Vegetarian Restaurant in North America award in annual polls conducted by Veg News Magazine, one of the top vegetarian magazines in the country. Why do you think you have been so successful in the restaurant business?
Well, we have developed a very loyal customer base. And actually, it's interesting, our surveys show that over half our customers are not vegetarian or vegan. Obviously, the food appeals to many people that are not even vegetarian, and that says a lot for Millennium's food and atmosphere and our staff friendliness also. It's a complete dining experience. We're not pushing and we're not sending the message about vegetarian. We're just trying to get good, tasty food out there in the dining experience. And that's what they enjoy, and they keep coming back, which is great.
You know, and obviously we have an effective marketing program. One of the things we do is each month we have a special dinner. And, you know, like the wild mushroom dinner every year. Eric is really into mushrooms.
Yes.
And we have the annual Southern Comfort Dinner. And since I'm from the South, that's one of my particular favorites. So anyway, we've developed an email list of over 13,000 people who get our newsletter every month, wherein we announce the upcoming special events. We have a private room, and we do catering there. And also we sponsor special events there, mostly for health, environmental, and animal rights programs. But to tell you the truth, you know, word of mouth is our best marketing thing. And, you know, we put together a really great team of managers and staff at Millennium. I oversee the restaurant, particularly the financial end, and Ann is the public relations person and the historian. She keeps all of the PR that we have.
Yes.
And we have a staff that really works well together, and we have a good relationship with them. The staff calls Ann the Den Mother. And the most important reason for our success, of course, is the great dining experience we provide. Eric is the creative force that makes the restaurant successful.
Eric, tell us how you became interested in being a chef and how you found your way to a Millennium Restaurant.
All right. So, you know, I kind of blame my parents for that, especially my dad. Yeah, but we'd go out to eat a lot. He really liked food and liked restaurants. And he'd drag the kids along. There were always things like gourmet magazines around. And, you know, probably my first love was like Chinese food, because we'd go to Chinatown in Manhattan probably once every other month with my aunt, who also became went into the professional food industry. She's a cookbook writer, a recipe tester. And I was just amazed at the diversity of all sorts of different cuisines. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And I'd worked in restaurants in high school. And every time I'd get out of the industry and do something else, I'd get drawn back in and go and start working in restaurants again. You know, sometime in the late 80s, right around 90 or so, I wanted to, you know, if I was going to cook professionally, I wanted to be able to cook healthier food where people gave a little bit about the food product. And it led me to Natural Gourmet Cookery School in Manhattan, which got me out to an internship at Millie's in San Rafael. And what impressed me about Millie's was they get into the station wagon, go up to the farmer's market, have this rapport with the farmers, pick up the produce, you know, talk to them about what's coming this season, come up with like the menus, looking at the produce, you know, kind of on the spot. And I thought that was unique because, you know, where I came from in New Jersey, my first job was working, picking corn and vegetables at a farm.
Wow.
Yet none of the restaurants around there used good quality produce. And that, you know, I was just psyched to see that. And I also was really psyched to see how they elevated vegetarian and vegan cuisine and what they were trying to do with it. And it was really unique and refreshing. And I really enjoyed cooking that style. You know, they called me up like half a year later to ask me to come back out because they needed a line cook. And I was game for the challenge, and which got me to Millennium through working my way up through the ranks, becoming head chef. And when the offer arose to open up Millennium, they wanted me on board Millennium. So that's kind of how, in a nutshell, how I got to Millennium.
Well, now you're the executive chef, a very successful chef, I must say, at Millennium Restaurant. And let's maybe describe to us the Millennium cuisine and give us some examples of some of the menu items that you have.
Sure. You know, I think almost like the best way to describe our cuisine is it's kind of a polyglot of, you know, we're taking all these global influences and condensing them into our own style, using local, seasonal, you know, sustainable organic produce, giving them our own sort of California twist. I think it typifies whatever California cuisine is or was or what have you. And so, you know, we'll have Asian influences on our menu from, you know, right now, one of our entrees is a riff on a Vietnamese-style crepe bun chow, where it's a rice flour mung bean crepe wrapped around, you know, a sear of Asian vegetables with fermented black beans, and we do a pineapple quasi-hoisin sauce, and, you know, it gets you into that ballpark. You know, like traditional bun chow, we serve it with big lettuce leaves, and we have Asian aromatics like rau ram, Thai basil, and mint, for folks to kind of make their own little wrap out of that. But it certainly is not traditional at all. It's really our own spin. You know, another entree is a hazelnut risotto cake that sits over a sort of Mediterranean-influenced China dal. Not quite Indian, it's not quite Moroccan, but it gets you into the Mediterranean rim influence with our own spin on the ingredients and how we, you know, put the finished product together and make it look really nice and attractive on a plate. The list goes on from there.
Well, your menus are fabulous, and when they're delivered to the person eating at the restaurant, it's like a laid out like a piece of art, I have to really say. And you obviously are interested in and very much into sustainable agriculture. Where do you get your produce for the restaurant?
Well, you know, we're here in Northern California, so we're blessed with a 365-day growing season. And, you know, there's a myriad of local farms within like a 150-mile radius, too far away from the Central Valley, where a lot of farms are. Lenny Farms in Sonoma. Sea vegetables harvested from the Mendocino Coast. You know, local wild mushrooms that I have that purveyors go out and pick, and yeah, we'll do a mushroom dinner where I'll go out and pick chanterelles and black chanterelles, and we'll pick foraged wild greens in addition to that. Local olive oil. Again, that's kind of where it all comes from, because we're blessed by being right in the middle of all this stuff.
Now, I mentioned earlier that I co-authored Millennium's first cookbook with you. That's the Millennium Cookbook, and you have also written another cookbook entitled The Artful Vegan. Tell us about the two cookbooks.
Okay, well, the first Millennium book, you know, showcased what we did for the first 4 years of the restaurant, and it's still a lovely, viable, contemporary book today. What I like about it, it has a lot of the core staples of what we do at the restaurant, which we still do today. Back in the day, we did lunch, so we have a section on doing on lunch items. You have a section on doing pizzas and flatbreads. Because what we did then for lunch, which we still do today, is we take our dough, roll it out, and pop it on a hot grill. And it's the closest, if you don't have a grill, stone in your oven, if you got a grill, get it nice and hot, it comes out close to like a pizza oven because you get this lovely charred crust on there. The Artful Vegan is a continuation of that. And, both books are a mixture of very complex recipes which showcase exactly how we do things at the restaurant. We're, putting together an entree is a multi-step process. So you got those recipes, and you got some simpler recipes like soups, or you got some suggestions on sauces and things and how to use them a bit more simply. And the second book is a continuation. It shows the different influences that other folks have brought to the table. For the second book, there's a different sous chef, a different pastry chef, and how the cuisine has developed and changed a little bit. And they're both lovely books, and they're both very, still hold true in terms of being very contemporary. And, especially if you're a home cook enthusiast, good book for you.
And we're going to make those books available for anyone interested on our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. And also, you could probably order them on the Millennium website as well and look for it in your local bookstores. Some of the recipes in the books, you're a gourmet restaurant, and some of them are more gourmet and take a little more effort and a little more complicated than others. And I know what you like to enjoy doing is also teaching people how to cook. Tell us about some of the cooking classes that you do at Millennium.
Sure. So what we do is a hands-on cooking class. I want to get people to get in there and do the recipe with me at Millennium Space that we've had for 8 years. We have an upstairs kitchen and a downstairs kitchen. So working in our upstairs kitchen, I get 10 people together, divided into two groups. What we usually do is go to the farmer's market the day before and kind of round table some ideas for recipes, like, what do you want to do? How do you want to do it? I'll have themes for classes that correspond with some of the themes at the restaurant. Like, you want me to do in the wintertime, like our mushroom dinner, we'll do a mushroom-focused class. I'll do a tomato-focused class. And but they're usually, farmer's market-focused class where, I see what people want to cook. We get some ideas at the farmer's market, pick up some produce, go back and either have some full written-out recipes, or I type out some ideas and kind of let the group kind of work on, sort of like a team building, kind of work on developing the ideas. And each group does slightly different variations on the recipes, and we come up with a battery of recipes and get in there, get dirty, chop things, cook things, do the whole nine yards and get a little taste of what it's like in our kitchen. And every time we do it, everything comes out great and everyone seems to have a really good time. And it's definitely for the cooking enthusiast, because you're really going at it. It's not like I'm sitting there lecturing on how to do things. You're diving right in there.
Well, that's great. And so when our listeners are in San Francisco, try to make it a point to take a wonderful vegan cooking class from Eric Tucker. Now, Ann, you told me that you and Larry have been vegans for over 30 years. What really motivated you both to switch to a plant-based diet?
Well, I guess it was me that got us there. I had suffered the first 42 years of my life not knowing it was dairy that was causing my problem. Something so simple as that. The irony is my dad was a milk processor. I grew up in the dairy business. When I got off dairy, finally at 42, someone suggested I try getting off dairy. It made a big difference. But then a couple years later, I met Dr. John McDougall, who promotes a vegan diet. I guess I needed reassurance that it was okay I was off dairy. even though it made me feel better being off dairy, I needed reassurance, and he was promoting a vegan diet, and he said, no human being ever needs dairy in their diet. And of course, when I went to the vegan, Larry felt it was made sense to him too, so he went with me, but we both felt even better going on the vegan diet, as well as just getting the dairy out. I'm a health professional, and I guess the combination of me being a health professional and having suffered for 42 years with a simple lack of knowledge about the health problem related to what I was eating has made me want to share the message. I encourage people to be knowledgeable about what they're eating and the influence that it has on their health. Say, I just try to lead people towards the right information. Read, you know, McDougall's books. He just has a new one, The Starch Solution, out there. Be better informed. Be an informed consumer. Be more in charge of your health. And I guess that's, I feel very strongly about that, having suffered for so long. So.
Yeah, and you know, if everyone was on a plant-based diet, it would solve a lot of the world problems, the hunger problem, and probably would go a long ways in solving our obesity and rampant chronic disease problems that are bankrupting our healthcare system. Then there are the environmental problems. You know, animal agriculture is degrading our planet and is the biggest contributor to greenhouse gas. And of course, how we treat animals says a lot about us as a people.
Well, and Larry, anything else you'd like to share with us as we close today?
Well, you know, we'd love to have all the people listening to this interview come to Millennium and experience Eric's cuisine. For some, it could be a life-changing experience. We're located in the Hotel California at 580 Gary Street in San Francisco, and we serve dinner only 7 nights a week from 5:30 on. And you can get more information about the restaurant on our website, which is millenniumrestaurant.com.
Well, every time I'm in San Francisco, I make it a point to eat at Millennium, and I encourage our listeners to dine at Millennium as well. It's a wonderful experience. Well, Larry, Ann, and Eric, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a pleasure to have you on our program, Health and Longevity, today.
Yeah, thanks, John. It's been our pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, take care, John.
Thank you.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for this week. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.